Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Kensington Road is a Berlin-based band. Everybody's instantly hooked on their modern and international sound that's combining indie rock with alternative pop. The five guys from Berlin hit the German album charts with their last two albums, Lumidor in 2018 and Sex Devil's Ocean in 2021. The band is being playlisted on radio stations in Germany, the Netherlands, UK, Ireland, Australia, Canada and the USA. Kensington Road released their third album, Charlie is Alive, in 2024. With their tales about life, love, loss and friendship, but also of stumbling, falling and finding the confidence to get back up on your feet, their songs speak right to the heart. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Stefan Tomek from Kensington Road.
Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
Hello, Barrett. Hello, South Africa, and hello, world. I'm in Berlin, Germany right now, and talking to your fantastic host, Barrett Edelstein, which is the German name we just found out. We just found that out, obviously, in Johannesburg. Yeah, awesome.
Where does the name Kensington Road come from?
Kensington Road. When I finished school in Germany, I went before I finished school. The year before I finished, we went on a backpacking hitchhiking trip through Canada. Eastern Canada. That was back in the day. I'm not saying we invented backpacking, but it was close. No, I'm just kidding. But and we met great people in Prince Edward Island. That's on the eastern side of Canada, on the east coast, and the maritime provinces, they call it. Yeah, and we got along so well that I said, okay, when I finish school, the year after, I will come back and, you know, stay with you for a long time and start university there, or, you know, do hang out, do whatever.
Yeah.
And I did that, and that was such a fantastic time. And that was on Kensington Road. And I started, I always played music, but not, you know, in my school band. And, you know, yeah. I formed a little, you know, high school band and stuff like that. And it was just, you know, fooling around. You know, at the time, you probably remember too, Barrett, and everybody does, you know, when you kind of, what do I want to do with my life? Nobody knows. If you know what you want to do with your life, tell me. but that was, you know, in high school, I realized, okay, maybe music's for me besides other things. And I was staying on Kensington Road, and they let me sleep in their attic up on the, under the roof, and there were old instruments lying around. There was this old bass and like an organ and guitar, and I was just playing music all the time, and I got somehow involved in the music scene there. And I just realized as a, you know, young teenager still, that's the thing for me, right? So I was, I enjoyed it, and it was a cool time to be in. And coming back home to Germany, that influenced me so much that I thought, okay, if I form a band, and I did quite soon after that, I will call it Kensington Road, you know, just from the origin where my musical development, whatever you want to call it, came from.
So then you formed the band, and what were the next steps?
The next steps were, as a band develops, I always stuck with the name, right? So the band that I formed back then has nothing to do with the band now. It's just, I just, you know, dragged the name all along with me for years and years and years. You know, I started, as I said, I was a teenager in my early 20s at the time. No, that was, you know, I just stuck to the name. But normally you would, you know, play in different projects, get a new name, you know, play with different people, get a new name. And I always, you know, hung on to the name, Kensington Road. But it's, you know, totally different people. So that's how it developed. I started with an acoustic duo, and we were called 29 Kensington Road at the time.
Okay.
Which is actually fun, which is not the number of the house we stayed in. We were staying in 93. And I remember my partner, music partner, that, you know, we started this band together, that, okay, let's call it 93 Kensington Road. And the next time he forgot the number and said, so you were living on 29 Kensington Road. It's like, no, not 29, it was 93. But 29 is better for Germans to pronounce, because they would go like 93 is not good, but 29 sounds better. So we had 29 for a couple of years, and then that was 29 Kensington Road, and that was too complicated. And so we at some point we said, okay, that was basically the only new name we ever got, or I ever got. Is I lost the 29, so now it's just Kensington Road for the last couple of years. And this band we're playing now, which is like the serious professional approach with putting albums out and you know, singles, you know, if we're lucky, it's on the radio, stuff like that. That's been going on since I think maybe 2015 in a way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's all, time flies, right? especially yeah. especially with COVID. I mean, where are the 3 years, you know, where have they got? Oof. So yeah.
I mean, it's interesting. You say that it seems like yesterday in the same breath, it seems like 10 years ago.
Exactly.
You've mentioned that you've carried the name of the band in various iterations over time. You mentioned the first band was acoustic. What have the genres of music been, or have they always been similar?
I think the genre pretty much stayed the same, you know, trying out different, you know, when you're younger, you know, you want to please the audience. And what's interesting, you know, you meet with record executives and they tell you, oh, you got to need this. I think over time, what developed obviously with everybody is the personality, your own personality and your confidence, hopefully your confidence in yourself. Mm. And I think that's what changed the most, that we over the last years, maybe since we started the band, like this band, like Kensington Road, 2015, we totally listen to what we want to do, right? So we're not trying to please others. You know, like, is this more indie rock? Is this more pop rock? Being from Berlin, Germany, you have to be cool, right? People want you to be cool. And if you're a German band in Germany, they go like, oh, really? Well, if you're not here, you have to be, you know, meet certain expectations. And we try to free ourselves of that. Yeah. And I think that's the most important thing, that, you know, the music, we, especially with the last albums, especially with this new one, we totally listen to what's in our hearts and what comes out when we play. So that's the most important development. Other than that, it's always been guitar music.
Okay. Right. So now those situations when you were trying to please the audience or please the record people, I know it was pre to the 2015 potentially and was there part of you that was saying yes and then it was like in your breath self you were saying no? How did you marry the two in those situations? Because you're trying to please and then there was something missing. Let's unpack that a little bit.
For every band, we've been discussing this, you know, in the last interviews we had, and we always like it's very interesting to talk about that. We were just yesterday talking about like every big star that I can think of, like, or 98% has a very, very long way to go. You know, it doesn't happen overnight.
Yes.
You know, it's like everybody, you know, takes a long time. And then when you're a younger band, it's mostly insecurities where you go like, okay, this should be, is there a shortcut? This shouldn't take so long. Why, you know, it's another year. We're doing another album. And, you know, it's like a chewing gum taking a long time.
Yes.
You know, like, you know, and then there's insecurities. Maybe if we did this, maybe if we meet, it's just a mere thought in your head. It's like what's the trend at the moment? What is everybody listening to? Should be, you know, go to that. And then you feel like a year later, you know, you worked on that, but the trend has changed. It's not pleasing the audience. It's just the insecurity that you have, you know, while you become a real artist.
The audience can pick up on that if you try and imitate or copy or be something that you're not.
Yeah,
about automatically,
sure.
Like, what is this?
For sure.
During those periods of times and the tring or the stretching of the chewing gum, as you reference that whole thing, obviously there have been times where you're like, oh, why is it taking so long, as you reference? So during those times when there's a bit of frustration and bit of that, I don't know how to verbalize it, what was the thing in your brain that said, allowed you to say, just keep going or just keep moving?
I don't know. That's a very good question. That's a very good question, Barrett. I always had this, probably this innate feeling. It's not about stardom, you know, and about, you know, as I said, pleasing people. Of course, when you're a musician, at some point you want to make some money, right? And you know, you want to go to your parents and say, "Don't worry about me. You know, it's gotta be okay. It's, you know, I'm making money off this." Especially, you know, it's the German culture. It's not very rock and roll, right? We're very, I don't know how Afrikaans or South African culture, you know, if they encourage you to do that, like maybe in the States or in the UK, you know, if your son goes, "I play in a rock and roll band," and they're going, "Oh, that's really good, lad." You know?
Oh, okay. That's what you're saying. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, and it's not very rock and roll. We're, you know, it's not very supportive. "Oh, you're a musician." Everybody goes, "Really? Can you live with that?" One of the questions that everybody's asking, I don't know if it's in South Africa the same. Everybody says, "Can you live off that? Really? How much money do you make?" Like, because Germans don't like to talk about money. Like, we never do that. Like, it's not nothing we do other than, you know, very different to the U.S. Germans don't like to talk about money. We even have a saying: if you don't talk about money, you just have it, right?
Okay.
So we're not showing off, but that totally stops when you're a musician, because everybody's actually going, you know, "How can you afford this? You know, like you're a musician, you know, you make money." So it's what I'm trying to say is the culture is very, it's not very, music is a cool thing to do, but you can't live from music.
Yep.
So I'm saying as an artist or musician, you always kind of look on the side where you go like, of course I want to be successful, sell some records and, you know, make a living from that. But apart from that, I always had this thing where you go like, I will never stop making music. And it's not enough for me to sit at home on my couch and pick up a guitar and play a song. You know, I always have to record songs and I always want to put them out and I always want to play with a band. And you know, for some reason, there's this innate feeling or urge in me to put it out there for whatever reason. But it's not an ego thing to, you know, I want to be a star and everybody thinks I'm cool. Definitely not. You know, I was telling the story about the money and stuff, you know, because it's, you know, it's not, of course I want to be successful, but everybody wants to have some success in whatever their job is. Right.
So from 0 to 3 to 4 minutes in creating a song, what is that process for you guys? Is always collaborative? Is it easy every time? And let's unpack the creative way that Kensington Road creates music.
That's also a very good question, Barry. We start sometimes in the rehearsal room, and that's fun, and we jam, and you know, we always play. We just started rehearsing again for the tour of the last 2 weeks, just getting together and play, and that was very interesting for me yesterday actually. Getting together, haven't seen the guys for a couple of months. You know, everybody was doing his own thing and having not been together, all the five of us in a room. And we started playing the new songs that we haven't played before that were since they were recorded.
Okay.
And it was amazing. It was a bit rough on the edges, of course, right? But it's amazing when we get together, you know, and every band has that's been around. We have a certain sound. I mean, it's not, you know, we're not the best musicians in the world, we're not Toto, yeah, right? Or, you know, there's many, many great musicians, but we're a good band.
Yeah.
We know how to play our songs with our sound. So that was very interesting. But recording, coming back to your question, especially with this album, we got together in the recording room. I had all the ideas. It's at the same spot where I was, when you were asking about what drives you on to make music all the time. It's situated in the same spot somewhere inside of me.
Okay.
I didn't have any songs written down. I didn't have any lyrics written down. Maybe one or two half songs. I had some ideas. There's two chords. And we got together in the room and tried to get a drum track down. Like the band was sitting there and we were playing along and the whole goal or aim was to just get a drum track that's sort of arranged in a way that we can work with the drum track and write the whole song over the drum track. And the song was sort of in my head, but not really clear. And that was pretty much the process. And then when we had a drum track, you could still, you know, work with that. We had different drum tracks and you can cut it. And I had the song and I started laying the instruments over that and the keyboards with Michael and everybody. And the song developed over that. We were writing the song in the studio from ideas and feelings and emotions and experiences I had over the last 1 or 2 years. And that was like, and for some reason at some point it just started flowing, like, and the lyrics came out. I don't know where they came from. And then, you know, when, like, you, I write it down and you know, I sing it in the studio and I sing it on the same day. And then still kind of, is this good? Isn't it? And our producer, the producer, Thies, his name is Thies Noy. He has a little studio in Berlin and we're very close. And we worked on the last two albums together. And now we really know each other so well that this whole process, like, we kind of took it to the limit almost. Like, I kept coming to the studio with actually just two guitar chords. So, like, we have to, and in one title, Charlie is Alive, the title of the new album.
Yes.
Which is also a song. And it just had the two chords and I had a drum track. We played over that. And then I just knew where this was going to go and how the song turned out from the beginning. That was, it's just, to me, it's amazing. Maybe if you're not a musician, it's hard to comprehend what I mean, but it's, yes, like the moment when the creativity flows and it's just there out of nowhere, out of thin air, basically. That was, to me, that's one of the most amazing parts of being an artist.
A lot of artists I've spoken to, and you said you don't know where it comes from. And a lot of artists I've spoken to, they've always often said to me that it's like a channel, and the songs are in the ether or wherever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And a lot of them have said they're lucky enough to have been pulled the song down and they are the vessel for the song, so to speak.
Exactly.
You know what I'm talking about, because
that's a very good, picture. Yeah. And that also relates to what we were talking earlier, how have you developed to be brave enough to actually go into the studio? Because it's kind of scary, you know. You go, where is this going to go? I've not much prepared, and there's people that work a totally different way too. You, like, write every song finished, have it arranged. You know, there's so many different approaches you can take, but this one is for us. And if that works, I mean, it doesn't work all the time. You have to be, you know, if you want to be the vessel, man, you got to be prepared. You got to have good maintenance. Have a good parking garage. You know, good guys working on you. You know, on the machinery and stuff. So no, you have to be prepared if you're in a bad mood and sometimes it doesn't work. But
absolutely.
No, but that's pretty much the process, and that's. For us, that was quite new to actually take it that far as we took it this time. And the album turned out great. I mean, you listened to the first song, Flowers in Japan, and that's actually everybody sort of that we've spoken to so far relates to what we're talking about in the song. And that's another thing. I totally let my inner feelings, whatever, everything I had, I put into the songs. You know, before, I'm not saying I didn't do that before.
Yes.
Like the last album, it's called Sex, Devils, Oceans, the last one before, which did really well in Germany for us, being a small indie, it did really well. And that was a lot of stories about traveling, about, you know, actually being in South Africa as well. We spent a long time in South Africa during COVID and came back after that. So I think we spent 6 months.
Did you get stuck in South Africa?
Sort of, yes. So yeah. We were in South Africa. When did Omicron hit? That was in 21, 22, I think, in over Christmas.
Yes.
We had a South Africa trip planned, and, you know, wanted to be home before Christmas. And then this Omicron came up, and everybody was freaking out. Everybody was freaking out, and you guys were going, really? What's the big deal? I mean, it's not bad, guys, relax. But Europe was, oh my God. And we couldn't get back in, or actually had the perspective that when we got home, we would be in quarantine for 2 weeks over Christmas, and, you know, locked in our apartments. Like, that's not good.
Yeah.
And I mean, Christmas weather in Berlin is always kind of nasty. It's rainy and dark. You don't see the sun. And we were, I think at that time we were sitting in Neisner on the Garden Route. Fantastic weather. It was like, we're not going home.
No,
we're
just stay home. There and chill.
And I thought, like, because everybody in South Africa was like, it's not bad. Omicron, we all had it at the time. And I think we caught it as well. And nobody knew, and there was no testing, and it wasn't bad, right? So, and everybody said, oh, we had it already. And, you know, life was going on in South Africa, which was at the time a very smart thing to do, especially looking back on it. And so we got stuck and said, no, we're not going home. And I thought, this thing is going to blow over. And it's definitely in January, you know, everything, the quarantine is going to be forgotten about. And that was so nice that we actually stayed till end of March.
So okay.
We kept on extending. So let's stay longer. And it was great. It was great fun. We had, I have twin boys that were born in 2020. So they were 1.5 years old. And being with them in South Africa, we had the best time of all.
Oh, that's so cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, such a lovely country.
I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 minutes, 2 hours, 20 years, four minutes time, I know your answer will be different each time because there are millions of them. I recognize that, understand that. I'm not saying favorite. I'm saying top of mind. If you had to push play to 5 songs by other artists once we finish this conversation, what would those 5 songs be and by whom?
It would be Round Here from the Counting Crows, one of my favorite all-time albums, Round Here, from August and Everything After. This always gets to me. Like the first time I heard it, it's and since I can come back to that anytime. I love Bob Marley.
Yeah.
So probably Three Little Birds is a good song for me.
Okay.
I love that. It's such an uplifting, great tune. You know, I can always come back to that. And I have this thing for a Scottish band called Delamitri.
Yes, I know Delamitri.
Yeah. Awesome. They're a great band, and then they have great songs, and this record has been, you know, since I think it came out in 91, 90 something, and I remember as a teenager, records were, you know, pocket money. They were quite expensive, right? And there was this cheap record store where they had this little box where you can just flip through the cheap CDs that no one bought. And then you could pick them up for, you know, at the time, maybe 5 euros, obviously not euros, but mark, but still. And this album, Waking Hours, it's called. It's one of my, you know, I just picked it from the cover and I thought, oh, those guys are cool. I didn't know what music they made. And this has been following me around for ages. Mm. And probably a song from that, Stone Cold Sober, the song is called. And he sings about, you know, partying in Glasgow, I think. So that's one of the songs. Three. Okay, another one probably at the moment, Guilty Pleasure. Should I reveal a Guilty Pleasure?
Yes, of course.
It's not my favorite artist of all time, and I know the attitude is somewhat sometimes a bit questionable, but Eric Church, country musician,
okay.
Eric Church
has
great songs. And while we're talking about South Africa, I've been listening, you know, driving around the Neisser Lagoon. We had a little cottage up in the hills there, and then you know, driving around the lagoon, you know, from the supermarket back, it was such a great time. We were just talking about that, and that reminds me of that time, and probably a song from Round Here Bus, it's called, you know.
Okay.
You know the song.
Yeah
he's been left by his girlfriend, and he actually no, the other one is better. What's where he's talking about the vinyl record year, that's even better.
Okay.
He's been left by his girlfriend or partner, or whatever. He's down and out, and he's having a record year. And when you think about it, it's like a record year, like the double meaning, like a, you know, I had the best year of my life.
Yeah.
No, he's been listening to all the vinyl records to
okay,
chase the blues away.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a good song. And the last one I would from the top of my head had to be Crowded House. Has to be Crowded House.
Okay. Nice.
They have a new single. They have a brand new single out.
Yes, I saw. Awesome. I saw that on the list. I haven't listened to it yet, but I did see that.
It's beautiful. Listen to it. It's a lovely song. It's bittersweet. I like bittersweet tunes. You probably realize that already. And it's but it's a very warm, embracing song. It's with kids and stuff, and it's called Oh Hi. It's a very nice song.
Okay, cool. Okay, so yeah. Now you reference this in this conversation, and I love me a CD. I still budget for my CDs every month because I like the aesthetic of holding something. For me, it's a thank you to you guys for all the hard work that you've done. I'm not sure if you're aware that CDs, vinyls, and even cassettes, can you believe, are making a massive comeback. Last year in the UK. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you know the stats. But there's also these digital platforms that people consume music on. So what are your observations and perceptions of the music landscape where it is currently?
I appreciate it very much that you talked about the actual, you know, vinyl or CD, that you actually have something to hold in your hand, you know. It's a pain, especially with Spotify. If you don't get on the right playlist, you can leave a lot of money there to pitch. And, you know, you look at it, how many listeners do we have? And it doesn't, you know, it's nothing to do with real fans. It's got nothing to do with people actually buying your stuff. You know, if you're on playlist, it's just skipping, you know. But then again, the chance, I've been talking to that about to my wife yesterday, actually. The chance to talk to you, Barrett, in Joburg, just like that, having a great conversation, you're putting it out for everyone to hear in the world. That's a very, very good thing for musicians if you use it in the right way. I think the problem is that you have so many artists out there and so many musicians, and everybody has access to it, and everybody should have access to it. You know, you have so much competition that it's hard to find your way through this maze of millions and millions and millions of people putting out data. And if music becomes data too much, that's a problem too, I think. But, you know, I'm just complaining because I find it hard sometimes. You know, if I had millions and millions and millions and millions of views and plays, I wouldn't be complaining. Until I have that, I will complain about the digital world. And but I think if you embrace the chances and try to not look at the numbers all the time, where and this again, if you don't have all the insecurities, you know, exactly. Going, oh, do I have enough? You know, if you can forget about that, which is hard to do, then it's a great way to,
and also compare yourself to others.
Yeah, that's horrible. Yes. But I know.
But that's the way you said
It's in our nature. But if you can, if you just accept it as another means of, you know,
communication,
having communication, having music around. If you want a record, get a record. If you want to listen to it on the subway, it's hard to do with the record. it's a nice thing. And just imagine. I mean, you know, you remember the Walkman where you put the cassette in and listen to it? That was awesome. The first time, you know, the first time I put on the headphones I couldn't believe it. Oh my God, it sounds so great. If someone would have told me you have this device and you have all the music you can think of in this one device and you can listen to it all the time, you know, you wouldn't have believed it at the time.
Exactly.
So, but I love having a vinyl or a CD.
Absolutely.
We're putting it out on CD as well.
The podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
Hello, beautiful people listening to Celeb Savant with Barrett Edelstein. please listen to music. You know, keep on listening to music, to good music. You know, and whatever, you know, makes your ears ring, turn it up loud. And if Kensington Road comes along, please give us a listen and drop us a line. And we'd like to meet you, and we'd like to know if you like our music. And we highly appreciate everyone listening to us, and we'd love to come to South Africa and the rest of the world.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.